This is the final call for all international passengers. Please have your passport ready and proceed to the
All right, passport time, and today we're going to Borneo, but actually via Denmark. Our guest is a woman by the name of Lone Drosje Nielsen. Her story takes us to Indonesia, as I say, but also now to the UK, which is, of course, where she lives. It's quite an incredible story. She started out as an air hostess, but after volunteering with orangutans in Borneo, she decided to move there permanently, and she set up one of the largest primate rescue projects in the world. I've seen some of the vision. It's extraordinarily cute and really quite inspiring. And she joins us now via Skype from her home in the UK. Lona, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
What got you on to finding orangutan, baby orphaned orangutans that are in trouble and seeking to help them out?
It was one of those potluck things that happens to some people. I think that most people think that once you get started in things like this, it's something you've had, a dream you've had ever since you maybe have been a young kid. I guess I always knew I wanted to work with animals, just got sidetracked with the air hostessing for a little while, which gave me the freedom to travel the world. And when I met those orangutans in Borneo and those little babies reached their arms up to me and pleaded for help, I guess I was sold. I mean, they are uniquely beautiful and they're undeniably compelling. And sometimes I even wonder if their intelligence even exceeds ours.
Well, they're also very humanoid, I suppose. I don't know if that's technically the right term, but I think you know what I mean. And when I see you in the video with these orphan orangutans, you can't help but respond to them as though they're kids.
They are. I mean, to be honest, they are just like little kids in long-haired red pyjamas. They are just as scheming and have, you know, personalities just like any other kid. It's like walking into a kindergarten, really, and every little creature has its own personality. I can't see, I mean, I can't turn my back to an orangutan orphan any more than I can to a child who's asking for my help.
It sounds ridiculous until you see what you're talking about, and then suddenly it makes perfect intuitive sense. And these orphan orangutans are being devastated because the palm oil plantations and the fact that their parents, particularly their mothers, are often being killed in the process, sometimes deliberately. So there's a very serious problem that actually is reasonably well publicised, but I don't... I guess the question becomes, what do you do about that? What is it you find these orangutans in trouble? What's next? What do you actually do?
Well, I mean, the whole palm oil issue is a very complex one. It will take us about half an hour to go through all that. And I think that very, very few people actually know very little about it. But we do go out in these palm oil plantations. And, you know, we have a very good, back since 2002, 2003, I set up a very, very good rapport with the palm oil industry. I mean, there were some years where we were fighting, a very hard battle and had over 150 orangutans being rescued from these palm oil plantations where forests were being cut down. But nowadays, they actually do call us up if there are any problems, or some of them do. There are still rogue plantations out there who, honestly, just do not care, and they will just keep on opening up the forest and kill those orangutans that are living there. Things have changed a lot, obviously. For the RSPO, which is the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil, which, you know, even though it has its flaws, at least it's a sort of like a mechanism of transformation across the industry and try to get the palm oil industry to change their ways and become more sustainable and follow criteria that will actually make them sustainable eventually, which means not to cut down forests, which is our main objective, obviously.
Yeah, so there's the immediate work of providing care directly to the orangutans who need it, but then there's the broader structural and perhaps political problem that you're trying to deal with.
It's a multitasking thing because it's not just enough. I mean, getting those animals into to the center and caring for them is like it's like you've got a water tap open, and all you do is like just mopping up the floor, but you can't turn the tap off. Therefore, you know, we obviously have to work with the palm oil industry, try and work with the industry and the government to try and find win-win solutions where everybody wins. There's no way we can stop the strong industry. You know, it's Southeast Asia's biggest industry, and it's some of the cheapest oil you can get. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter whether it's you or even myself. I cannot go through a day without actually consuming or using something that has palm oil in it. So yes, it's a multitasking job. It is a lot. Of course, your daily work is caring for these infants and making sure that they go through the right rehabilitation program so that they can be released into the wild, which is our main purpose of the
project. Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Once you release them into the wild, how confident can you be? How sure can you be that they'll be okay?
You know what? We have, since February last year, we have now released 82 animals, and every single one of them are doing fantastic. The first rehabilitated orangutans, we have released quite a lot of sort of like half-wild orangutans from February until November last year, and they're doing perfectly fine. The first rehabilitated orangutans was released in November last year, and every single one of them are doing, well, not above my expectations. I think I always believed in their intelligence and their adaptability, but there were quite a lot of people who said, no, they're too old, they've got babies with them, they're not going to make it, it's going to be too difficult for them. But you know what, we put them out there without any provisions, and they have been doing, well, I'm like a proud mother,
yeah, yeah.
Put it that way. I could not be any prouder than seeing them behaving like wild orangutans. Their babies are throwing sticks at us, they're kiss squeaking, they're trying to escape from our, you know, when we're observing them. Which is exactly what we hoped for and worked for the last 12, 13 years.
Well, congratulations on it, Lana. The footage is extraordinary. You can go to YouTube and find that if you want to see Lana with those orphaned orangutans. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That's Lana Drosher-Nielsen, who's the head of the Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation Project. News time now, 7 o'clock.